Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity, for the freedom, and Lord, for that desire you've placed in our hearts to meet here together as a company of your people. We thank you that it is in your name that we do come. We thank you that it's through your work that we're able to come boldly into your presence. And Lord, by your Spirit, to bring worship and praise and thanks, which is pleasing to you. Lord God, we pray that you will help us, all of us, wherever we are in a journey of faith, to be able to be in a real sense with you this evening. Lord, may not one of us, even the youngsters, leave this place without knowing that they have been somewhere special, that they have been in the very presence of Almighty God. Father, we do thank you that you have made it possible. We thank you that you have opened the way to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that that barrier of sin has been removed once for all who trust you and receive you as their Lord and their Saviour. But Lord, as we rejoice in the opportunity to meet together, we do so in a sense of awe and reverence, because you are the mighty God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, we bow our knees and fall down before you, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Pure One, and acknowledge your greatness and your majesty. Lord, help us to bring worship to you tonight, which indeed is not only pleasing to you, but Lord, may you speak to us through the worship that we bring, and may it do our souls good. May we be encouraged. May we be built up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for those unable to meet with us tonight. Lord, bless them. We pray particularly for those away on camp. Lord, may even this evening be a life-changing moment for many of those youngsters. Lord, we pray that your word, which has gone forth to them this day, might have done so with such clarity, such grace, such power. Lord, that each one might have been indeed challenged in their hearts and minds, and be seriously, prayerfully considering your demands on their lives. Father, we pray that you will be with those that perhaps did once meet here, but no longer do because there's a coldness of heart. Lord, that fire has grown cold. Lord, we pray for them, that wherever they may be, that you will stir up those kinders into a raging fire once again. And Lord, for any here this evening that could not claim to know and love you as their Saviour, we thank you for them being here. And we pray, Lord, that they might not only know a welcome, but Lord, might know your welcome into your family, into your home, as they meet here with you. So Lord, help us now, we pray. Accept these gifts which we've offered, and pray that you will indeed use them for the ongoing work of your kingdom here. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, we are going to be looking at Acts chapter 8 and the account of the conversion of the Ethiopian. So, reading from Acts chapter 8 and 26 to the end of the chapter. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May God bless to us that part of his word. Amen. In Sunday school, the children were learning about how God created everything, including people. One little boy was especially interested in the part where God created Eve out of Adam's side. Later that week, his mother saw him lying on the sofa looking a little bit ill. She said to him, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I've got a pain in my side, Mum. I think I'm going to have a wife." Children's understanding of something we as teachers hope to get across so clearly. How clear do we get across the gospel of Jesus Christ when we have the opportunity? This is an account in Acts chapter 8 of Philip sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with an Ethiopian. I guess a bit of cross-cultural evangelism. But this isn't the first part or first place in Acts where we come across Philip. You may remember that if you went back into Acts chapter 6, that Philip was one of those men that were chosen to assist the apostles. And one of the things that the church were encouraged to look for in the selection of these men was that they were full of wisdom and full of the Spirit of God. So already we got this picture of who this man Philip is. As one of those that was chosen, obviously then a man full of the Spirit of God and of godly wisdom. A couple of chapters later on, after the martyrdom of Stephen, we read that the church is scattered because of the persecution. And Philip, we read in chapter 8 and verses 4 and 5, is one of those who leaves Jerusalem. And we read that he goes to a city in Samaria, where he preaches Christ and does so in such a way which has a great impact upon those who are listening. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. First of all, selected to help the apostles, so the apostles could get on preaching Christ. But here, having been scattered, this same guy is also preaching Christ and does so with miraculous signs and great success by God's grace. And it's at that point that we come to this part of Philip's life this evening. What I aim to do this evening is just perhaps to, through this passage, to look at some areas to help us, all of us, about to share Christ better. Assuming you're a Christian believer here this evening, of course. If you're not, I'm hoping by what we also share around the edges that you learn and hear something more about the grace of this Saviour. But notice some contrasts as well, as I just draw to a conclusion on the introduction, that this, in Philip's life, is an account of what happens up in the north, and now what happens down in the south. It's an account of what happened to the crowds, and what happened to a single person. It's an account of the spectacular, and in our passage this evening, an account of a more singular, serious side of the gospel. So first of all, the gospel call in verses 26 to 29. What key elements in evangelism can we note in these verses? First of all, notice that it's a call from God. In verse 26, we have the term the angel of the Lord. In verse 29, and at the end of the passage, we've got the Spirit. We could go into this in great detail, but I just want to say, suffice this evening to say, it is God speaking to Philip in different ways. But it is God speaking to Philip. Actually, if you wanted to have a look at the phrase, the angel of the Lord in Acts, you'll find that it's used five times. Twice it's used in the context of deliverance. Twice we read that the angel of the Lord comes to rescue, first of all, Peter and John, and then secondly, Peter by himself from prison. A little bit of time with what we were talking to the children about this morning. But it does remind us, doesn't it, that God rescues, delivers us from the prison of our rebellion and sin against God. In chapter 7, and here we see that an angel of the Lord is used by God in directing people in action. In chapter 7, there is the account how the angel of the Lord led the people of Israel. God spoke through his angel to his people, telling them when to go, when to stay. And here, the angel of the Lord is speaking to Philip and telling him what he should do. Something else as well, which we find in Acts of the angel of the Lord, is that he's involved in judging sinners. Chapter 12 tells us the story of Herod. Got a little bit too big for his boots. Started to lap up human praise. And we read that the angel of the Lord came to him and judged him. And that Herod died being eaten by worms. I can't ever truly been fascinated as a child by Eve being created out of Adam's side, but certainly Herod being eaten up by worms seemed to grab my imagination, I can remember, as a child. But the angel of the Lord came in judgment upon a sinful man. But here, suffice it to say, God speaks to Philip. I notice too, and this would be very familiar to everyone here this evening who is a believer, it's very much that consistent call of Christ to each one of his people. It's to go. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road. He'd been in Jerusalem. He'd gone to a city in Samaria. And now God was calling him to go somewhere else. And it's interesting to note, isn't it, that here it is very specific what God is saying to Philip. He says, go south to the road. Just wants to make it a bit clear, you must remember that sat-navs are not around at this time. He says, to the desert road. And just to make sure that Philip is going to end up in the right place, he says, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And sometimes God can speak to us very clearly and very specifically. And we thank him for those occasions. Other times, of course, we're perhaps left waiting, maybe for some time, to know clearly what God is saying to us. But God speaks to Philip, tells him to go, and tells him where to go, and Philip goes. Now just think about this. Philip is up somewhere north in a city in Samaria, and God says, I want you to go south. Not too bad. Where we are in the northern hemisphere, going south has its attractions, hasn't it? But he says, go to the desert road. Perhaps not quite so attractive. Bearing in mind, Philip is in this city in Samaria, where he's preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Many people are being converted. Miraculous signs have been done. The city is abuzz with Christ Jesus. Lord, this can't possibly be the time. Can't you see what you are doing here, Lord? And you want me to leave? Philip went, trusting his God. And his God knew best. And got another good plan in mind for him. Reminds us, doesn't it, that sometimes God may call us out of situations which seem to be going so well, and it seems so crazy to leave. May we be like Philip, be obedient and go wherever God sends us. But of course, being obedient necessitated Philip being open to hearing God speaking to him. It's all very well about to say that God speaks to people. And he does. But how often are our ears stopped up? It may be that we're going to say, Lord, that's crazy. There's such a work of the gospel going on here. Many people are coming to Christ. And we may just shut out the voice of God's Spirit speaking to us. Even from what may seem a very good, logical reason. We need to make sure that all of us are open to hearing God speaking to us and maybe speaking to us this evening. The Ethiopian, when he comes from Ethiopia, it's a little bit further to the north then than it is now. Today is more modern day Sudan, but the Ethiopia here is spoken of. We read that he is a eunuch. We read that he is an important treasury official. A treasury that we read is owned by Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. I don't know about you, but I'm always especially thrilled when I read God's word, when I learn something new. I'm quite ancient, and it's taken many years to learn this very simple fact. I thought Candace was the name. It's not. It's a title. She was the Queen Mother. In those days, an Ethiopian king looked after all the spiritual side of the nation. And it was left to his mother to be the prime minister, to look after running the country. And Maggie Thatcher thought she was first. Here was a very important woman, and here is this eunuch with a very important job. But on top of that, we read that he is a devoted, God-fearing man. We're not told how he heard about God, but we are told that he'd been to Jerusalem. He'd worshipped God there among God's people in Jerusalem. And we're told that he so loved this God that he wanted to read more about him and had purchased a part of the Old Testament scripture. This man was serious about God. He'd undertaken a long journey. Probably in those days, and because of his position, he would have had to ask special permission to be away for quite a period of time to make that journey. And he wanted to come back and to read more about this God and his dealings with his ancient people, Israel. Here's a man then who worships God and reads his word. Do we worship God and read his word? A gospel call, and secondly, a gospel shared. And I can ask the question, what features of gospel approach can we learn from verses 30 to 35? Well, maybe one of the lessons that we can learn from here is that perhaps we might ask God to send us to a specific person. God sent Philip to one man. He sent him to a vast number of people in a city in Samaria. But on this occasion, he's sending him to one man. Not all of us are called to be evangelists. Not all of us find it easy to stand on a street corner preaching the gospel, going door to door work. And therefore, perhaps in that context, what might be easier is just getting alongside one other person to share the good news about a wonderful Saviour, Jesus Christ. Therefore, may I suggest that from this passage, that we might ask God to lead and guide us to one specific person that we can share his good news with. Let's pray that on the top of that, that perhaps through an interest, a curiosity, maybe carrying out even some research under the Spirit, that person is ready to receive the good news about Jesus Christ. Here's this Ethiopian. He is reading God's news. He's been to worship God. He's in a God place and is ready to hear what Philip will have to say to him. It's good to get to know people, to get close. I've got to have some sympathy with Philip here. Okay, he's been up in the north, he's told to go south. He's in a very nice place in Samaria and he's told to go into the desert. And he gets there. And what does God say to him? See that chariot over there? I want you to go over and speak to the guy in it. Now that chariot was moving, we know that because the Ethiopian says later on, tells it to stop. So Philip's undertaken this long journey already. He's hot and sweaty and God says, run, catch that chariot. Sometimes it is a tough call. But again, Philip did exactly what God told him to do. A great reminder, isn't it? Philip, though, had to get close to this guy, close enough to hear what he was reading, and he was reading out loud, which helped, so that he could ask a pertinent question. And there is this sense that asking God to lead us to someone who's very specific, maybe that God will lead us to that person who's already got an interest, but nonetheless, we must get close to them. So that we can ask a right question. When Philip comes alongside, he hears him reading the question and he asks him, do you understand what you are reading? Questions are a great way to speak to people about Jesus Christ. Because Lucy's here, I'm going to embarrass her. But by embarrassing her, I'm going to embarrass myself. She has got this very annoying habit in the high street of spending time answering the questions of those people with clipboards. Me, I want to cross the other side of the road. I'm too busy. And besides, they're usually stupid questions anyway. Lucy will always answer them. The reason why she does so is because she believes, and she does it, she has the opportunity to speak to them about Jesus Christ. And it works quite easy. You see, it goes like this. Will you answer some questions for me? Yes, I will, if you in turn answer some questions for me. Now, either they think they've never heard anyone respond like that and think this is extremely dodgy and say, oh, sorry, tea time, and off they go. Or they buy into it. Asking questions is a good way of being able to get to know people, to know exactly where they're at, and, as Philip does, starts where they're at to tell them about Jesus Christ. You see, this guy, even though he had an interest in God and a serious interest in God, he still did not know the Lord Jesus Christ is his Saviour. In our parlance today, he was not a Christian. He might have been along to church. He might have done good for deeds every day of his life. He might read God's word. He might attend church on a Sunday, but without a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ dying for his sin. This guy was not a believer. A follower, an interested person, yes, but not a believer. And Philip, starting where he was at, began to talk to him about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're in too much of a hurry. We want to get to the crunch straight away. And we make a quantum leap and we leave people behind. There are occasions when we only have that opportunity and we have to take it exactly like that. But if we have the opportunity to build a relationship, then we must do so intentionally to share the gospel, but to get to know the people, and you share it where they are at and not where we would like them to be. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. He started where the Ethiopian was, but he told him the good news of Jesus Christ. Always make sure that the gospel you share is the gospel about Jesus Christ, God's Son. A preacher who, shall we say, was humour impaired, attended a conference to help encourage and better equip pastors for their ministry. Among the speakers were some very well-known and dynamic speakers. One such man boldly approached the pulpit and, gathering the entire crowd's attention, said, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that wasn't my wife." The crowd was shocked. He followed up quickly by saying, "And that woman was my mother." The crowd burst into laughter and he delivered the rest of his talk. This young new pastor thought, well, perhaps he would try something like that and perhaps repeat the same story on the following Sunday. But as the morning approached for him to be able to begin his message, so his memory of how the story went became foggy. Don't jump to conclusions just yet. So getting to the microphone, he loudly said, "The greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman that was not my wife." Again, the same impact upon the congregation as the air was sucked out of everyone hearing such news. After standing there for almost 10 seconds in the stunned silence, trying to recall how the story was finishing, the pastor finally blurted out, "And I can't remember who she was." Which didn't go down at all well. Let's make sure that when we have the opportunity to preach Christ, that we don't forget who he is. He's the Son of God who came into his own world to live amongst us for one reason, to die on a Roman cross because of our rebellion against God. Because we don't put God first in our lives. We put ourselves first. That's called sin. And he came to take God's punishment in our place upon himself. And rose again on the third day, showing to everyone that God had accepted that sacrifice on our behalf. So that all who believe and receive him will be saved. That is the gospel. And we've got to make sure that we never forget it. Make sure that we get it across clearly. The gospel call, the gospel shared, and finally the gospel witnessed. For the end of the story, we read about this guy being baptized. We don't know how long Philip managed to share with him. But at some point, God's Spirit of grace came upon this Ethiopian. And having had an interest in God's word, having had it better explained to him, received God's grace. And knew that he was a sinner that needed to be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. And at that point, when they see some water, he says, "Here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Now, again, we're not told. How did he know about baptism? Had Philip explained it to him? Probably more likely with his interest and knowledge of the Jewish faith. When people who were Gentiles were converted to the Jewish faith, there was a water baptism involved in that. So it may have been that which caused him to say, as he saw this water, "Why not to be baptized?" The New King James Version is superb. It has a very key verse in it, which is not found in this version here, which I'm reading. It has it in the footnote, but doesn't have it in the main text. And it's verse 37. I won't go into whys and wherefores, but it's great to see it here in the full text. because it tells us that this Ethiopian was baptized because he knew he had been a sinner, that Christ had died for his sin, and he wanted to show that, to witness that fact by being baptized. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. A personal conviction. I believe it's not the best verse if you want to talk about it, full immersion. There are other passages in the scripture which give a far better understanding and direction in that way. But suffice to say that they went down into the water and came up out of the water. And we learn too that this baptism wasn't the end of the journey. For the Ethiopian, he was going to continue going home. We read that he goes home rejoicing in the good news of being saved, being in the family of God. Do we rejoice this evening in that knowledge? And I'm sure this guy would have gone home and in such an important position would have been able to share Christ with many other people. Just like Philip was to do. Because God has not finished with Philip either. Philip certainly got some miles under him, didn't he, in the gospel. Where's he going now? He's going back up north. He's going to go to Caesarea eventually via Azotus. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptism is not the end of a journey. Baptism comes towards the beginning. There's a life of service, a life of witnessing to Jesus Christ, which follows. And if you're really interested in finishing off the story of Philip, you're going to have to go forward 20 years. You're going to have to go forward to Acts chapter 21. By that time, just like Colin, he's got a load of daughters. And still, he's involved in the gospel work of Jesus Christ. A gospel call to every believer. We're to go and share Christ Jesus. A gospel shared. Making the most and taking every opportunity to tell others about Jesus Christ. And a gospel witnessed, taking them on, making disciples, baptizing them, making them, equipping them to be useful servants in their own turn, to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And the reason? It's because it's the best news. It's the good news. There's no other reason. Why should Philip so willingly, hot-footed, all over the countryside? Forgive us, Lord, if we need to wake. Forgive us, Lord, if we need to arise. But we pray that you will send us nonetheless, wherever we are, to tell others about a wonderful Saviour who came to die for sinners, to make them right with you. Father, we pray for any here this evening who perhaps are just where that Ethiopian was. We're thankful that they're here with an interest in you. But we pray, Father, that as with the Ethiopian, so you'll open their hearts and minds and eyes to see and receive Christ as their own Saviour, even this evening. Send us, Lord, now with your blessing upon us in every way. Lord, we pray that we might go in your strength and in your peace and in your joy and your wisdom and in your righteousness through every day of this week for your glory. Amen.